Amen. Thank God for our kids. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want to remind everyone, next week is Christmas, and I've challenged everyone, let's wear our Christmas suits and coats and dresses, and let's come and brighten up the church next week. Amen. And let's pray that it don't snow so we can come to church. I'd hate to know that I didn't come to church on Jesus' birthday. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him Mary his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. God, we love you. And Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, we ask your hand to be upon us right now, Lord. I pray, God, you would just help me, Lord, this morning, God, to be able to preach this in a way, Lord, that you would get all the praise and all the glory from it. Lord, I pray, God, you would convict hearts this morning, God. I pray, God, you would speak to hearts, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to those that might be watching on Facebook or YouTube, God. And Lord, I pray whatever's done today, you get all the praise and glory, Lord, because we know we can't do anything without you. We need you today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a simple thought this morning. Why Christmas? Why Christmas? Why Christmas? Is Christmas about the lights? Is Christmas about the tree? Is Christmas about the kids getting up and singing? And all that works into it. Is Christmas about nativity scenes? Why Christmas? Why did God do this? Have you ever thought about it? He did it for you. Amen. He did it for you. It ain't about the presents, and it ain't about the food. It ain't about the family gatherings. And if you know, if we ain't careful, me and my wife was talking about this morning, we get so busy, we forget to make the main thing the main thing. People in the world are so busy, they forget to make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is always Jesus. I saw something on the computer the other day, and it was a big mega church, and they had all the money and all the things that they could do, Brother Tony. And in this mega church, instead of focusing on Jesus, they had Santa Claus flying across the top of the church in a sleigh. That ain't Christmas. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh to myself. It ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's all about him. Amen. So I want you to the reason for Christmas is you and I. It was the love of God being revealed to mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave the first Christmas present. He gave the best Christmas present. And there ain't been a Christmas present given since then that can anywhere match what God did for us. It was about us. God gave us there have been some great gifts given over time. And some of you in here have had some great gifts given unto you. I mean, and when you think about that great gift, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you think about the best Christmas present that you ever got. I've told you this many, many times. In this church on that Christmas morning, Brother Tony, I went in that living room where we were at, and there was a little 410 shotgun. That was my best Christmas present that I remember, Brother Larry, growing up. Some of y'all can think back on the best Christmas present that you ever received. and you were so happy to get it. You were so thrilled and so overjoyed to get that gift. And you thanked whoever at the time, mama or daddy, or if you thought it was from Santa Claus, you were just so appreciative. And some of us have not even opened the precious gift that God gave to us many years ago. Spiritually, it's almost like you walk by God's Christmas tree and you flaunt at that gift that he gave you. Christmas was for you and I. Christmas was for the lost to be redeemed. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Glory to God. When God gave that gift, it was for everybody. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Understand something. No Christmas, no Easter, no salvation. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that you say, well, preacher, you preaching Easter. I'm just telling you, without Christmas, you can't have Easter. Without the birth of Jesus, you can't have the death of Jesus. Without the birth of Jesus, you can't have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Without the birth of Jesus, we don't have access to get to heaven. So thank God for the gift. Thank God for the results. Let's look at the results of Christmas. It was a new relationship with God and humans. Up to this time, Jackie, they had heard about God. Up to this time, only just a few people had ever got so close, Brother David, that they could even come in contact with God. We know that Moses prayed and asked God to show him, and God put him up in the cleft of the rock. When he passed by, he was able to look on the hinder parts of God. But up until this time, nobody had ever seen God. But on that morning, glory to God. Whew, on that morning when those shepherds made that little trek down there to Bethlehem and they walked in that little stable and there in a manger they beheld the face of the living God. It was a new relationship with God and humans. God decided to come down and robe himself in flesh. That was the only way somebody could talk to him, Skip. That was the only way somebody could look at him. He had to be clothed in something. He had to be covered in something. I'm telling you, when the glory of God shines, you know Jesus is in the house, amen? But he had to clothe himself with something so that people could see him. We know from studying the Bible that when Moses went up on the mountain and got the law, he come back, he had to veil himself because he had been around the glory of God. And now at this point, a little over 2,000 years ago, God himself came down and dwelt among us. It was a new relationship with God and man. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Nobody had ever seen him before. I'm telling you right now, I've never laid eyes physically, Tommy, on Jesus, but I've seen where he's been, glory to God. I can see it in my heart. I can see it in the hearts of the people that come in contact with him. It was a new relationship with God and men. God also worked with men. We know God had prophets down through the years, but now God, in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. He called men to help him. He called men to walk with him and work with him. This is the first time. Now, we know that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him, but this is the first time since then that Jesus actually took men hand in hand and walked with them and showed them how to work. Not only that, he worked with men, he walked with men, but he also helped men. Understand something. This was God in the flesh. Up in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us, Brother Robert, of many miracles that God did. But in the New Testament, God amped it up. He put his only begotten son down here. And I'm telling you, he touched the blind, and the blind could see. He touched the lame, and the lame could walk. He touched those that have infirmities, and they were healed instantly. The Bible says on multiple occasions, when you study the Bible, when I say something to this effect, Wes, about touching the hem of his garment, our mind automatically goes to the woman with the issue of blood. But the Bible says, Gavin, the Bible says there were many that were brought to him that touched the hem of his garment, and he healed them every one. A new relationship with God and man. Understand something. Without Christmas, we don't have Easter. And without Easter, we don't have that verse whereby the shedding of blood and by his stripes, we are healed. So without Christmas, hey, all those that's been healed over the years, you wouldn't have got that without that. Aren't you glad for that relationship that God comes down and God meets with us and God hears our prayers and God touches us? I'm telling you right now, Jesus said, if I be not taken away, I can't send the comforter. And I'm glad that we got the comforter with us this morning. Amen. I'm glad that I can feel him in my heart. I'm glad that I know that Jesus is in the house this morning. I'll tell you something. From the first miracle at Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine to the last miracle when he reached down and took that servant's ear that Peter had cut off and stuck it back on his head, he was God. And he walked with men. And he worked with men. And he's still doing that today. He's still doing that today. God's still calling men to help him. He's still doing that today, praise God. Understand something. God's still calling, but men ain't listening. God's still calling. The results. Jesus came to save. The results of Christmas. Now understand something. Just because you ain't saved don't mean that Christmas ain't done what it's supposed to. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 56, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. John chapter 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, but God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. She said, well, preacher, I'm not saved. That don't mean Christmas didn't do what it was supposed to do. The results of Christmas is that everybody that wants to be saved can be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's not God's fault. That's not the church's fault. That's not baby Jesus' fault. That's not the man on the cross's fault. That's your fault. Now, what should be the response of Christmas? The response of Christmas is, will you accept the gift that God's given? No doubt in a crowd this big, there's somebody here that's not saved. No doubt in a crowd this big, there's somebody here that's not where you need to be with God. So how do you accept this gift? Well, I'm glad you ask. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all you got to do to receive the gift of salvation. You ain't got to come down. You ain't got to light a candle. You ain't got to go back in the back room with a preacher or a deacon. You ain't got to do none of that. All you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. God will hand you that perfect gift, and you ain't even got to open it. Glory to God. Hey, my God, have mercy. They wrapped him in swaddling. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes when he was born. And when he died, glory to God, he was unwrapped. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, he unwrapped the gift so that you and I could receive it. All you've got to do is accept it this morning. The response to Christmas. Another response to Christmas is this. Will you abide with him? Now listen, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to abide with him. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Let me ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hand. How many of us this morning has got enough confidence in your relationship with God to say, if I get on my knees and ask, I know God's going to answer it? I didn't ask you, could you pray and God answer the prayer? I know he can. I'm asking you, what kind of confidence do you have in your prayer? Brother Ralph, what kind of confidence do you have in your prayer? Alan, what kind of confidence do you have in your prayer? Can you get a prayer through? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. The problem is there's a lot of people play church. There's a lot of people play, this time of year, the church house gets full. They come in, all the lights, everything's pretty. All of our kids are singing, and that's just great. But the fact of the matter is, that's the only time some people's going to be in church. It's around Christmas time and Easter time. And I'm telling you right now, you play in church, you're not abiding in him. What are you teaching your kids when you do that? Will you abide in him? Will you accept him? Now listen, I love Christmas, but if you don't abide in him and you don't accept him, you're going to be abolished by him. Revelation chapter 20, preacher, this ain't got nothing to do with Christmas, but I'm telling you, it's got something to do with your soul. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus Christ will be your judge. You understand that? You're either saved or lost. There ain't no in between. There ain't no in between. And there ain't going to be no purgatory for you to go to when you die. It's heaven or hell. The Bible says that the tree falls, that's how it's going to lay. There ain't no in between. This morning, you understand this. This morning, you're either saved or lost. You've either accepted the gift that God gave a little over 2,000 years ago in the name of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. You've either accepted that, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you've either turned him away and turned him away and turned him away and left that gift under that tree and said no. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Now, my son and my daughter's here, and my grandkids are here, and son-in-law and daughter-in-law. If I got one, Brother Donald, if I bought them a gift and put it under a Christmas tree and they didn't go get it, two weeks after Christmas, Angie is still sitting there. 4 weeks after Christmas, Brother Johnny, and it's still sitting there. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd get in the flesh. How many of you has turned him away? And you've not accepted the gift that he's given. Let me tell you something. I think 1 year we got Blake a four-wheeler for Christmas, and Heather got a golf cart. That's probably some of the biggest things they've ever gotten for Christmas. Maybe you're able to give your kids a lot better than that. You know, whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, if they'd have left that golf cart and that four-wheeler sitting there and not used it, they wouldn't have got nothing else from me. What's your response to Christmas? I know most everybody in here is probably saved. Brother Ed, I realize that most of us are saved. Gavin and we're praising God. We're here for the right reason. But what's your response for Christmas? How about it, Christian? Are you abiding in him? Are you all you're supposed to be? Are we more living like the world? Why Christmas? Christmas was for you and me. It wasn't about the lights. It's not about the trees. It's not about all the Christmas carols and all the, and I love Christmas music. I love everything about Christmas. You know, I've challenged you. Listen, I'm going shopping this week. I'm going to find me a red jacket. Amen. I'm just being, I'm it's going to be red or green, I'm telling you. I love it. I love Christmas. But Tony said it right. If you want to make your pastor happy, don't worry about red and red next week. Get right with God this week. If you want to make God happy, don't worry about what kind of dress you're going to wear to church. Worry about where your heart's at with him. Can you do please come to me? Please come down to me. This is a great song. I love this song. And thinking about this sermon, he did. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He looked down and saw you in all your sin, saw you in all your mess, saw you in all your filthiness, saw you in all your ungodliness, and loved you enough that he left the portals of glory and came down, and God was put in infant form and laid in a trough where animals feed, so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? If you would bow your heads with me, I'm not going to call nobody out. I promise you that. Nobody looking around, please.